This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. We got open lines, as always, 248-539-9797. Great to be with you here on a Friday prior to the Super Bowl as detestable Team A takes on detestable Team B in a game that invokes hostility from fans all across the country. We actually had the data to support it coming from Vital Vegas, according to industry sources in Las Vegas, which is always historically been hopping Super Bowl weekend flights. People flying in, numbers are down. Hotel occupancy, down. Group and event bookings, down. Rates have gone down. And the speculation, the reason why, is because nobody likes these two football teams. And so, you know, I mean, we go back to, hey, man, people can't place bets now. And maybe that's just ultimately what it comes down to. I am hoping that just the sheer, maybe it's the past behavior patterns, Gator. It gets me fired up when Sunday rolls around. And I always cherish the final football, you know, day of the season. Because then it feels like forever before the next season starts.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'll root for my picks. I'm picking Philly to win the game. I think Saquon's going to have a huge game. And that's what I guess will really serve as my primary motivation. You're rooting against Steve Spagnuolo, which is one of the most fascinating reasons I've ever heard.
Get it right, Doug. He's rooting against Spags.
Spags, yes.
Okay. Thank you, King. Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah.
My apologies. Yeah. He's rooting against Spags.
I'm rooting against the media hype for Spags. Yes. That's what I'm rooting against.
He's
I need to find a rooting interest in this game somewhere, Doug. And I can't stand Sirianni in Philadelphia. I don't want Philadelphia to win another Super Bowl. I like the idea better that a Kansas City team is creating this dynasty that we're living in, because I think it's fun to live through dynasties and say, yeah, I remember how great these Chiefs teams were, and if they went 3 in a row, absolutely, in 4 out of 7 years. And yeah, there's a lot to like with that. But no, I can't stay on the hype train. There's a lot not to like with Kansas City. You know, the Mahomes hype, the prejudicial officiating, perceived or otherwise, that goes on. Enough of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, all that, right? There's a lot not to want Kansas City to win for. And I'm trying to find something more to put it over the edge. Because with Philadelphia, with me, it's just I don't like Philly fans. I think they're horrible people for the most part. The
shots fired, Stoney.
I said for the most part. Stoney's great. Sirianni is awful. But there's a lot to like with Philadelphia. Like, I got nothing against Saquon Barkley. Did I think that they made too much about him jumping backwards over a player? Yeah, but I got nothing against him. He's awesome. I like Darius Slay a lot, you know? Mm-hmm. the players in their team that I wanted the Lions to draft that they didn't draft. That okay, here we go. Got it. So I'm going to say I'm rooting for Philly over Kansas City.
I'm stunned by this turn of events here at the Carson Anderson program.
That's my rooting interest. When it comes to the game itself, I mean, it's only Kansas City is a 1.5-point favorite at this point. I think Kansas City wins the game because I can't, if I were betting on this game, how can I bet against Kansas City? Because they've done nothing but win every time. So until somebody unseeds them, I'm going to keep the scales tipped in their favor.
All right. We get to Bregman Watch Day 60, whatever it is. And I'm going to read some of the comments on a story from a baseball writer regarding, you know, teams still putting together final offers, if you will, for Alex Bregman. Here are some of the comments. Last and final offer with a deadline. Move on. Next one. Goodness gracious. Next one. Move on. It's clear he doesn't want to be here. Next one. Let him go. Next one. At this point, I think I may actually be disappointed if he signs. Next one. Terrible news. The original offer was way overpriced. Next one. Let it go. Next one. Pull the damn offer off the table. These are all responses. Next one. I'm tired of this S. He needs to move on. Next one. If it was me, here's what I would say. We have an update to you on your offer. It's gone. No more offers. No more negotiations.
Oh, boy.
Next one. Forget about him.
Oh. Hostility.
This is hostility. This is a story written by a Houston writer named Ari Alexander. The Astros have improved their initial offer to free agent third baseman Alex Bregman, two sources tell KPRC2. However, that improved offer is unlikely to get the deal done, according to a source. And it's Houston fans responding. So, what does this mean? I guess it means fans are similar in different towns. Because we get some of this, too.
Oh, do we?
Yeah. Yes, we do.
People tired of it?
You know, would we be tired of it if everything was reversed, if it were a Detroit free agent considering Houston and other offers? I mean, I guess the difference, that is really cold-hearted. He helped bring them a World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I'm not saying you can do whatever you want under those circumstances, but I would feel like there'd be a little bit more grace period afforded a guy who was a star player on a team that won a World Series.
Well, but how long? But this is where I understand the fans being upset in Houston. This offer that they made, this leaked offer of 6 years and $156 million,
yep.
This is like 6 weeks old. This is forever ago that they made this offer. He hasn't signed anywhere else. You know, this offer is out there. They're like, what are you doing? Why? What's wrong with us?
Mm-hmm.
You were here. You brought a championship here. We went through that championship, and then we went through the shame of what happened after it. And you've got this incredible life-changing offer, and you're not going to take it because you're waiting for something better? I understand why they're upset about it. And I think that they have every right to be. With the Tiger fans, I think it's a different situation. He's not ours. He can be. He might be. And I understand some Tiger fans are getting impatient about this whole thing too. But I don't care if he ends up signing with the Tigers, I don't care if it ends up being this afternoon or if it's, you know, March 10th.
So what I find interesting about this is if everybody is interpreting this the same way, if multiple fan bases are getting upset, does it say, hey, this is nothing personal against any of you? If I'm what I'm doing is irritating, probably a smaller percentage of fan bases, is a conclusion here to be drawn? Hey, man, This isn't about you, Houston. It's not about you, Detroit. This is about me trying to figure out what's best for me and my family, and this is a very difficult decision. Because he's getting equal opportunity hate from all around, right? You know, you don't want to be pissing off your future fan base. I will say this, if that number starts to grow, I mean, what percent of fans, Tiger fans, do you think are really irritated with Alex Bregman right now?
I think, I don't know.
Is it less than 5%?
No, it might be a little bit more than that, but I think it's certainly less than 20%, but I have no idea how to gauge that.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're just guessing, but I would think it's a small but vocal percentage. But that percentage will grow. The longer you take on this, you can't afford a slow start with your new team or your old team that you go back to, because it will then forward the narrative that he didn't want to be here in the first place, right? He just he didn't want to be here, and now we're seeing it. He hadn't even shown up, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I think what will be curious is that when he decides where he's going to play, when all the dust settles on it, will people come out and leak out the offers that he turned down? Will we ever hear that? You know, the Tigers, would Scott Harris come out and say, let's say he re-signs with Houston. We had a very competitive offer out there that was for more than what Houston had offered initially.
Yeah.
Will he say at least that? I mean, you don't have to put the value on it, but you know, it's at least $156 million. Will he have that to say? Will the Cubs come out and say, you know, we offered him a very lucrative deal on a four-year contract, getting him close to $30 million a season, and he turned it down? Whatever. I mean, I don't know what's going to end up with this. It sounds like they are absolutely hell-bent on getting that long-term deal of a six-year deal that has to be north of $160 million.
Okay. Scott Harris is speaking right now.
Oh.
And there's a quote here that could be, it's not about Alex Bregman, but it very well might be. He was speaking about Jack Flaherty, and he said something that might apply to what's going on with Bregman. We'll get to that today at 12:18 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Karsh alongside Scott Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. Are you going to eat that coming up at 12:35? All right, so Tigers president Scott Harris is speaking with the media right now as Jack Flaherty has passed his physical, which I guess probably shouldn't be overlooked given his history with injuries, a back injury, but hey, good news there. So Flaherty is healthy and he's now officially a Detroit Tiger. Regarding the signing of Jack Flaherty, according to our Jeremy Otto, who does the updates, quote, we want players that want to be here. He said that Jack was very outspoken that he wanted to come back both publicly and privately. He's talking about Jack Flaherty.
Mm-hmm.
Is he talking about Alex Bregman as well?
I think he's talking about Jack Flaherty. That's what I think he's talking about. And I think he's talking about free agency in general, that or just baseball in general, that you want players that want to be there, sure. But in this moment in time, I know as much as we'd like to read into it and think, oh, he's talking about Bregman. Bregman doesn't want to be here. No, I think he's talking about Jack Flaherty, and he has said this before. I think he said this, or Jack Flaherty said this like a week ago when he was asked about when he was still a free agent and somebody mentioned Detroit. I love my time in Detroit. I'd love to play there. Now, of course, he says that after – the Dodgers decided to pass on him and bring him back because at the time when the season ended, he's like, I love it in L.A. I want to be in L.A. But I can appreciate what Jack Flaherty's saying right now that he wants to be in Detroit. I love that. Good. There's a reason he wants to be. He was able to resurrect his career here.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't read into it too much. I mean, it's possible. I'm not saying it's impossible to read into it that's a message about Bregman, but I think it's his – way more a message about Jack Flaherty.
Yeah, look, you know, it's not like Bregman's going to be forced to come here. He has a choice to make. Are we a little worried if he only comes here for the money that we're getting a player, end of career, Damian Woody, going through the motions, collecting a paycheck? Right? Are we worried about getting that? I think he's too young.
I'm not worried about getting that.
I think he's too young to feel that way. But I think some people are worried about that. But
yeah.
I think some fans are.
Yeah.
Well, why would there be other reasons for the hostility? Why would there be other people saying move on?
Well, I think people, that's just fans. Fans want things now. They want this to happen. I mean, the Woody comparison, I don't see it, because this is a guy who's getting multiple offers. And it's not like teams are offering him, all right, I'll give you a one-year deal for $15 million, or one-year deal for $10 million. They're giving him multi-year deals starting at $25 million a year and going up from there. So it's not the same type of situation.
I wonder how many fake offers are out there. Not fake offers, but how much, if their numbers that we are seeing aren't anywhere close to true, which sometimes can be the case. But, you know, it's frustrating to one extent because nothing's happened, but at the other, it's like, okay, who really cares how long this takes? I mean, do I think he's waiting for a potentially better offer? Yeah, I think his agent definitely is. I think his agent had him walk away from what looks like a great deal on paper now, and they don't want egg on their face. I also think there could be a case made for if you're Alex Bregman, how far are you willing to push this? Are you going to get into spring training and wait for an injury? And then have your agent circle to that team? Is that how far he's going to take this?
I don't know. It's interesting that through all this time, we haven't heard from Alex Bregman. We heard from Jack Flaherty prior to him signing. Mm-hmm. He was speaking. But Alex Bregman hasn't said anything. He has completely left this up to his agent. And I think it's a smart thing to do. You know, eventually, his agent knows where he wants to be. His agent knows what kind of money he'd be comfortable with. And then there's the ego side of Scott Boras, which is, well, I got to get him more because it makes me look better.
Okay. So ESPN just did a really interesting story, and this is relevant to all of this. They didn't just do it, but they did it recently as it pertains to prospects. Okay. It was a bold predictions thing for prospects. And it was about the top 100 prospects. They then proceeded to do bold predictions about prospects 101 to 200. So, like, they looked at which player ranked between 101 and 200 is most likely to make the top 50 this year, which one's most likely to be a Rookie of the Year candidate, which one's most likely to at some point lead Major League Baseball in home runs, which one's most likely to win a batting title. So these are that second tier of prospects. There is some fascinating Tiger love in here. Which one's most likely to be a Rookie of the Year candidate?
Of the 100, of the top 100?
101 to 200.
From the Tigers?
Well, I said there's some Tiger love, so.
Well, I guess I'm trying to think who would be, you know, in that category. I don't know if Chase Young is in that category. I know I've seen him in that category for at least one service.
One Tiger is selected to be the most likely guy to be a Rookie of the Year candidate. Another one also got some consideration.
That's for this upcoming season?
For this upcoming season to be the 2025 Rookie of the Year. It is Chase Young, who's ranked 117. And he would be a possibility if Bregman doesn't come to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
They write, Jace looks like he'll be in the opening day lineup as Detroit's regular third baseman, at least against right-handed pitchers. And there isn't anyone else at number 101 to 200 who figures to have that sort of opportunity at the beginning of the season. He's a below-average runner and defender, but has power and patience along with enough feel for the bat to put up an above-average offensive line this season.
And he's healthy. Which he wasn't entirely healthy last year, but his wrist is all healthy, ready to go. So we'll see how he does. I mean, didn't look great for the Tigers last year, but like I said, we'll see what it looks like now. I'm excited because it's still the pedigree of what you saw when he was a college player and getting drafted.
Also getting consideration from the Tigers organization is relief pitcher Brant Herter, who is still apparently rookie eligible, made 10 appearances last year for Detroit, including 5 innings of scoreless postseason baseball. So, a little bit of Tiger love there for Brant Herter and Jace Young. All right.
The other thing to keep in mind is when you're looking at the prospects from 100 to 200 is, you know, how many of these guys are actually guys that can make the roster right now? Because you would think it'd be littered with a bunch of guys that were just drafted or players that are just, you know, starting their careers in the minors. Well, these wouldn't be guys that are advanced this far.
That was their reasoning for choosing Jace Young. All right, which is most likely to lead MLB in home runs at their peak? Lazaro Montes from the Seattle Mariners is the pick. Also getting consideration, Deron Lorenzo, Tigers.
Tyron.
I just butchered it all the time. But yes, him. Did I get Lorenzo right?
I think you did.
So love for him as well. Any other Tiger love?
Anything for Briseño?
No, I'm not seeing it.
Josue Briseño.
Although, is he now top 100?
That's a good question. Well, if Lorenzo isn't, then Briseño isn't.
I wouldn't think, but...
It depends which service you're looking at. I mean, one of them has 7 Tigers in the top 100.
Mm-hmm.
And Jaden Hamm, the pitcher, is one of those guys.
Yeah.
And I think Briseño and Lorenzo are also in there.
Well, Detroit has 3 in the top 10, according to ESPN. So...
Okay, so this is an ESPN.
Yep, this is the ESPN list. So some love there, but the Jace Young thing could be interesting because that, you know, the writer is assuming that Alex Bregman isn't ending up here. And is it too early to give up on him? I feel like a lot of people already have, you know?
On Alex Bregman?
No, on Jace Young.
Oh, Jace Young. It's way too early to give up on Jace Young.
Yeah. 248-539-9797. Another edition of Are You Gonna Eat That? Coming up at 12:35. Carson Anderson, 97.1. Perhaps this is a fact that is only interesting to me, and I think I told you this already this week. By you, I mean you, Gator.
What?
The only venue to host back-to-back Super Bowls. Do you know the only venue to host back-to-back Super Bowls?
Did this the other day?
I don't think we did it on the air. We did it off the air.
So now I'm trying to remember what it was. Was it Tulane?
No, although Tulane has hosted 2 Super Bowls, which is really amazing. When you
think I'm sorry. It was the Orange Bowl, wasn't it?
Yes. The reason why? Reason why is because the NFL had just granted a team to New Orleans. There was a belief out there that New Orleans was going to get Super Bowl III. Miami hosted Super Bowl II, which was Green Bay versus Oakland. And there was a belief that New Orleans was going to get Super Bowl III because New Orleans had helped facilitate the AFL-NFL merger because their owner influenced a congressperson to get them to drop a antitrust exemption legislation against the NFL. And so the belief was that the NFL had offered New Orleans a Super Bowl. And they wanted to avoid the perception of quid pro quo, so they went back to Miami for back-to-back years instead of awarding it to what was believed to be the leader, New Orleans. And that is how Miami got to host back-to-back Super Bowls. Once again, perhaps something that is only interesting to me. I've had a lot of that this week. Now you're mocking me. Every time I bring up something that only I care about, is that what we're going to get as the stat of the day sounder?
That's nice. I like it.
We're watering down the stat of the day sounder.
No, I don't think so. It's like saying that Mike's watering down the throwing of the chair. I mean, I'd still get a kick out of that.
It is so funny. I really love it.
They played
because you know why? It sounds like it was put together in about 2 seconds with no like we don't care that it cuts off in the middle.
Yeah,
we just need something quick. Put it together, and okay, we're gonna roll with it.
So they played 58 of these Super Bowls, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think what happens is that when you bring up the stat of the day or whatever, when you bring up that thing about the back-to-back Super Bowls,
yep.
It's funny to look back because like now, if you had some city back out of a Super Bowl, like they thought they're going to get, and all of a sudden they with 6 weeks to go, they can't do it. It would be so easy to find another venue now.
Right, sure.
Because we're used to it now. But back then, they're like, what do we do? What do we do? Orange Bowl. Good. Got it. Whew, dodged a bullet there. And now it's like, oh, I don't know. Like we could play in
1,000 places.
Rose Bowl. We could play in SoFi Stadium. We could play in Vegas. We could play in San Francisco. We could play in Jerry World. We could play a bunch of places. But it's just interesting that back then there was, I guess, I don't know. How about we run it back in the Orange Bowl? Sounds good, Bob. Way to go.
Some funny things about Super Bowl venues, okay? The Tulane Stadium, I said they hosted 2 Super Bowls. My bad. They hosted 3 at Tulane. There were 3 Super Bowls at Tulane. There were 3 Super Bowls held at Alabama or 3 Super Bowls held at, some massive college stadium.
Right, but it's New Orleans.
It is New Orleans.
So, before they had built the Superdome. And,
yeah.
It's where Tom Dempsey kicked that 63-yard field goal against the Lions.
The funny thing about Tulane is you go, okay, what a random sort of strange place, secondary college.
Right, yeah.
And you know who else hosted a Super Bowl? True story. Rice. They hosted a Super Bowl at Rice.
Right, not Texas.
No, not in Austin.
No.
Not a Texas A&M.
No. Rice.
Rice.
Not in not Oklahoma and Stillwater.
No. Nope. Rice.
Rice.
The 3 on-campus stadiums.
Where is it? Houston?
Yeah.
Okay, well, he's a big city.
3, 4. There are 4 on-campus stadiums that hosted Super Bowls.
Well, but you go, okay, what, so what are the other ones? Sorry, it was cut you off.
Right,
before
right.
You give us another stat of the day. What else?
It's Tulane. It's Rice. It's Arizona State. And Stanford. There are your 4 on-campus Super Bowl stadiums. Okay, I think I'm done.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because that's just how things were back then, right? And how the Super Bowl has evolved and turned into this giant juggernaut that it is today. It's every aspect of the Super Bowl. It's the cost of an advertisement on, for a 60-second spot or 30-second spot, I guess, that now it's going to be on average, $7 million for a 30-second spot. Crazy to think. Who is it? Kendrick Lamar is the halftime host this year. Halftime show. Yeah, not host, but the show. You go back to the first Super Bowl, and it was the University of Arizona Symphonic Marching Band, along with Grambling State's Marching Band, and an Anaheim High School Band.
That was the halftime show?
Yes.
Bring it back.
Super Bowl II was Grambling State University Marching Band. Super Bowl III was Florida A&M Band. With Miami area high school bands. I mean, this is what it was.
Yep.
Until Super Bowl IV, where they're like, hey, wait a minute, let's get some people. Like Doc Severinsen and Carol Channing and Southern University Marching Band.
Carol Channing
yeah.
was a halftime performer?
Yeah.
Hysterical. All right, you ready for another edition? Are you going to eat that?
Yes.
Here we go. Okay, did you hear Jansen talking about his bacon bombs?
No.
Okay, here is the recipe for John Jansen's bacon bombs.
Okay.
You take a chunk of cream cheese, you wrap it around
That's, by the way, exactly how he would phrase it. Get a chunk of cream cheese.
That's the wording he used, the phraseology. You wrap it around a frozen tater tot.
So I have a frozen tater tot, and I take some cream cheese and put it on the outside of the tater tot?
Yep.
Okay.
You push in a slice of jalapeno into the surrounding cream cheese. You wrap it all in a slice of bacon, and you bake it for 15 to 17 minutes at 375 degrees. I asked John, and John's response was, glory. Gator, the John Jansen bacon bomb. Would you eat that?
I would. It's finger food. It's an appetizer. It's something simple. I'm not going to get too messy throwing it down. It's not like, you know, ruining a burger by throwing everything else on there. And here's another couple. Here's a slab of bacon, whatever. I'm not the biggest bacon guy, as you know. But I love bacon by itself. This is, you know, it's an appetizer. Right? I think it sounds really good.
Can you?
Oh, yeah, I'm all in, and I'll be very disappointed if Jonathan brings some in Monday. But he probably won't, because there probably won't be any left.
I can't imagine there would be.
I am out.
What about turkey bacon?
Yeah, you know what? The turkey bacon, I should try it. Turkey bacon used in any other way than just eating it as straight bacon, I have been disappointed in, but I should try this with turkey bacon. Next up, Pepsi is putting together a beverage concept called Drips. And introducing them at the Super Bowl. What's a drip, you ask?
What's a drip?
These are customized trends using cold foam, creamers, and syrups. Let me give you an example of a drip. The Praline Foya drip is Pepsi or Pepsi Zero Sugar with brown sugar boba, praline syrup, and a cold foam topper with a caramel sauce drizzle. Gator, the Praline Foya Pepsi drip. Are you going to eat that?
No. No interest. If I'm going to, you know, drink a pop, and a zero sugar pop, I just want it by itself. I don't need this other crap, and I don't need the textural thing of the boba, and I sort of don't want more syrup in there. I just want it to pop.
Kang?
I'm not even sure I understood what you just read. This is a drink?
Yes.
Okay. I'd give it a shot. I like boba a lot, by the way. Kind of sucker for pop in general. Probably should cut back. But with that being said, it sounds like it could be tasty.
It sounds like it could be tasty. Yeah. I actually think I might try this.
All right.
Believe it or not. I won't try all these. There's one called the Dirty Gator.
Oh. All right. We get that every day.
This is Mountain Dew with vanilla creamer, pineapple and honeydew melon, and gator-shaped gummies. Gator, would you try the Dirty Gator?
No.
Come on, man. Get dirty.
I don't like gummies at all.
Well, they're not like the, you know, medicinal.
I'm not asking if they're medicinal.
Oh, you don't like gummy.
I don't like gummy bears,
gummy
or
worms.
None of that crap.
No.
You like Swedish fish?
Yeah.
No.
Because I got to tell you, Swedish fish, I think, are disgusting. But yeah.
And I'm Swedish and I don't like Swedish fish.
Can you?
Yeah, I'm going to try this. The Dirty Gator?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Is there a clean croc?
I'm gonna pass on the Dirty Gator.
Yeah, well, I knew you would. So. Someone on the show is going to step up.
Next up, Pringles has two new limited edition flavors.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Right, here we go. Yeah, what do we got?
The first is Pringles Miller Lite Beer Can Chicken. It packs this serious savory flavor in a chip version of beer can chicken, along with a refreshing Miller Lite beer taste. Gator, the Miller Lite Beer Can Chicken Pringles.
I mean, I'd try it. It's a potato chip. I'll try just about any kind of potato chip just to try them. I've had a steak-flavored potato chip before, which I thought that was going to be funky, and it was, but it was actually kind of good, too. This just sounds like a chicken-flavored potato chip.
Do you think you'll like it?
Beer appetite. I don't know if I'll like it, but I'll try it.
So Gator is a yes. Can you?
No, man, I don't want anything. Like, it's just going to make me want real meat. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, if I want real chicken. I want real steak. I don't want my chips to taste like meat.
Well, this combines two of my favorite things.
Chicken and Miller Lite.
Lite. So, I think I have to say yes. I'm going to try it.
Doug's got to try it.
Yeah, I got to try it.
It's a winner.
I think there's a chance I won't like it, but yeah. I feel obligated to try it. Next up in the Pringles lineup, 7-layer dip.
Yep. Well, hang on. What are the 7 layers?
You find notes
hold on.
Of those familiar Mexican-inspired flavors from your favorite party dip, like cheese, salsa, guacamole, and olives, but without any of the work to make it. It only gives 4 of the 7 layers. So,
mystery layers?
Apparently.
So this is a Pringles chip?
Yep.
Yeah.
You'd try it?
Yeah.
He's rolling the dice on the 3.
I'm fine with it.
It's not his first time he's taking a chance, Doug.
Yeah. Dang you.
I'm out. I mean, I don't even need to know the other 3 layers. I don't like olives. Can't stand olives. I'm out.
I can respect that.
I'm out as well.
Wow.
Finally.
I thought you liked 7 layers.
I do, but not as much as like beer can chicken and Miller Lite.
Well, it's not saying you can't have it.
No, you're right. I just...
Not even try it.
No. I mean, I'm not going to get some wackadoodle chip. Next, Goldfish. Goldfish has come
out. Love Goldfish.
They're partnering with Warner Brothers for a limited edition Goldfish inspired by Harry Potter. The Goldfish Butterbeer flavored grams. These new crackers, the company noted in a statement, provided to Food and Wine, comes with rich butterscotch flavor, hints of creamy vanilla, and a touch of magic in each fun-shaped bite.
Yeah, there's definitely some magic there. You had me at butterscotch. Game on. Game on.
Okay.
You could have said butterscotch and followed that up with cod, and I'd probably say yes, because I love butterscotch.
Kang, do you eat the little butterscotch discs?
Yes.
Okay. Kang, you?
I don't know much about Harry Potter, but I hear about this butterbeer all the time from the fans. But with that being said, I would try this. It sounds like it would be pretty good, I think.
Believe it or not, I've had the butterbeer.
Oh, you have?
Yes. When we were at, I think it was Universal Studios.
Yeah.
In Orlando.
That's where it is.
It is, and I would describe it as an elite cream soda.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow.
So?
So that's a yes for
you. Yes, then.
Yeah, I think I actually would try this.
There you go.
God, I'm getting crazy these days.
You are.
Man. Letting loose. Earlier in the show, you said you would eat a bag of chips. It was crazy.
Doug over here living on the edge.
Yeah.
This is the new Doug. You know what the new Doug is? The new Doug is dangerous.
Dangerous. You are dangerous.
There you go. That concludes another edition of Are You Going to Eat That? Here on Carson Anderson. Hey, Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. They care more, so you win more. Michigan Auto Law, hey, what do you like about them? Well, they specialize only in auto and truck accidents, and many law firms don't specialize. They focus on many different areas of the law. One of the unique differences, well, white glove service. They take on fewer clients on purpose. This means they have more time for your case, and the formula leads to faster and larger settlements for their clients. And remember this, you're going to call back from them within 24 hours. So give them a call and they will communicate with you. They care more, you win more. Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. Visit autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed.
Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket, 248-539-9797. So, look, it was announced that in the last couple of days that the NFL is going to Australia. It'll be a Rams home game. It is a 16-hour direct flight, which is pretty insane. And the NFL is also going to go to Ireland. It's going to be a Pittsburgh home game. The opponents have yet to be determined. So, begs the question, Ireland or Australia?
Whew, this is interesting. The downside to me about Australia, and I'd love to go to Australia, to me the downside is just the travel to get there.
Yep.
It's a full 24 hours or whatever it is to get there.
Well, it's 16 hours from L.A. The time I flew, when I've gone to Australia, it's been through Hawaii and once through Tahiti, and it was like literally split in half. It was like 8 hours and 8 hours.
Once you left L.A.?
I mean, I guess the first time it was St. Louis to Hawaii, and then Hawaii to Sydney. And the second time, I think it was L.A. to Tahiti. So, yeah, it was the L.A. part, the stop layover in L.A. Yes, it's a long flight.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking at least 20 hours of flight time. So that's a long time. But and so if I'm going to go, I'd like you going to be there for like a couple weeks to really enjoy it. And
it's a hard place to go for a weekend.
Right, exactly.
I would make the case that you don't want to go there for a weekend.
I do have interest in this one.
In Australia?
Yeah. And then there's Ireland, which is just announced. And that sounds pretty cool because I'd always wanted to go to Ireland.
This is, again, fortunate because of my father's work. Growing up, he spent 2 months in Ireland. We went with him. Ireland is everything you think it is. It is the most lush, rainy, green place with random castles everywhere.
and cool accent.
And like thatchet roofs on houses. Like it is. It was crazy. I guess this was crazy a while ago, but. So you would choose Ireland just because you don't want to do the travel?
I think of the two, I would choose Ireland over Australia because I've always wanted to go to Ireland.
Yep.
And because it's, you know, a 6-hour flight from Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Kang, what about you? Ireland or Australia? Don't you have relatives in Australia?
Yeah, so I've been to Australia. And yeah, that's long, man. We did I think from Detroit to Korea to Australia, I think it was, something like that. And in 24 hours, you're either on a plane or in an airport. It's nuts. I've never been to Ireland, although I'm very curious about Ireland. So I'm going to go, actually, I think most people think, all right, well, then go to Ireland because you've already been to Australia, right? Actually, I'd prefer to go back to Australia. Probably has a lot to do with family as well. I don't have any family in Ireland, but I have aunts, uncles, cousins, all that stuff out in Australia. So, and in the time I went, I enjoyed it a lot, and there's more to see. Actually, so I haven't gotten to see all of Australia, but I had a good time when I was there.
So the game in Australia is being held at the MCG, a.k.a. the Melbourne Cricket Ground, which I always looked at as a historic venue because it hosted an Olympic Games. And so when we were there, strange but true fact, there had never been any night games played at the MCG, and I went to the first night game of any kind at the Melbourne Cricket Ground. It's a true story. True story.
Weren't you also a judge?
I was a gold judge at the World Polo Championships when we were in Australia, yeah.
Don't move when the horses come at you.
Well, that's what you have to do because you're standing on the field and you literally just stand there and they'll say, they'll miss you. But if you start trying to miss them, there's a problem. But anyway, so the game's being played in the MCG, which I'm about to say something and you're going to laugh. It's actually a historic venue. Like, it is really a pretty cool stadium. But it's massive and it's a circle. And so the football game in the middle is going to have a little bit of a feel of some of those old cookie cutter Three Rivers Riverfront Memorial in Philly. Right, it's going to have that kind of feel.
Can we fill it up with water and add sharks?
Actually, you can.
Okay.
It's one of the benefits of
good to know.
The Melbourne Cricket Ground. I don't know where the game's being played in Ireland. But
where do they play the where did Notre Dame play when they went over?
To Ireland?
Yeah, didn't they play in Ireland this
year? Yeah, they played in Ireland. No, this year was Florida State and Georgia Tech, right?
Oh, was it? I thought it was Notre Dame.
Yeah, I think you're right. It was Florida.
And I think, let's see where the Florida State Georgia Tech game was played. Was it Dublin?
I think you're always safe saying Dublin.
Well, there's also Belfast.
Meant the stadium.
Killarney? Was it played in Killarney?
Was there a road?
What cricket grounds did they play?
So, I don't think they play cricket in Ireland. I think they play hurling. Have you ever seen hurling?
Oh, good God. Here we go. No, I think I have seen. Is it kind of like high lie in a way?
It's
like high lie and cricket had a baby.
It looks to me like lacrosse and field hockey had a baby. That's crazy. But so
all babies are beautiful, Doug.
So two Australias and an Ireland. Was that the final tally?
I think. Well, I guess so. If you didn't, I mean, King wants to go to Australia. You're an Australia guy, all right. Yeah. Kenny, you got Australia or Ireland?
I would rather go to Australia.
Okay.
There you go. Mm.
Enjoy that solo trip, Gator.
Okay. Straight ahead, we'll talk a little Super Bowl. What's going to happen on the field? It is Kansas City and Philly. Detestable Team A versus Detestable Team B. That is next here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.